Hi, how are you? Good. That's nice. Welcome to the program. I think I have a very interesting show for you today. This could be worthwhile. Could be, I said. No, there's no refund here. You didn't pay for this, so there's no refund. I've been talking about losing weight for quite some time. A friend of mine I hadn't seen in about a month. And I usually don't compliment men because it's not my scene, man. I usually do that to women. Whether women have lost weight or not, I always say, did you lose weight? And usually it's a compliment. Other times they'll say to me, why, was I fat before? And then I realized shutting up is probably the best policy. Donald Trump, hear me out. Shutting up is the best policy. All right, never mind. Anyway, so this guy, he's looking good, and I just had to say it. I said, you look very slim. And he said, yes, Ron, calls me Ron, he said, yes, Ron, I lost 16 pounds. You lost 16, that's a whole midget. That's a lot of pounds. Wow. It's a mystery to me how you lost 16. How did you do it? Did you have surgery? Did your arm fall off? Are you on diet pills? Do you have some rare fatal disease? How did you do this? He said, Ron, what I did was I cut out sugars and carbohydrates. Wow. And food. Wow. And breathing. Wow. No, he cut out sugars and carbohydrates. All he ate. Was protein, fish and chicken. That was it. Fish, chicken. It's Tuesday, it's fish. It's Wednesday, it's chicken. It's Thursday, it's fish. It's Friday, it's chicken. Oh, that worked out the wrong way, didn't it? if it ended up Friday on fish, that would have been impressive, but it didn't. Chicken or fish and green vegetables, and that's it. Salad dressing on the salad, on the greens? No, Ron, no. Maybe oil and vinegar. No sugar. No added sugar. Fruits? Not a lot of fruits, because they have sugar. But it's natural sugar. I know, but it's sugar. Vegetables more so. Raw vegetables more so. I said, and how long did you do this? He says, 3 weeks. And I said, you kept this up for 3 freaking weeks? He says, yes. He says, I have discipline. And then I realized, aha. I lack discipline. I can't do it. I mean, if you look in the dictionary, there's no picture of me near discipline. There's nothing. I am not. Discipline? What? Are you kidding me? Do you realize you only have one life to live? Discipline? You got to be kidding. You got to be kidding me. Was this a joke? I have no discipline. But this morning when I woke up, I had motivation. I wanted to be like my friend. Well, I call him a friend. I just know of his existence. To me, that's also a friend, though. Ron, what's your definition of a friend? I know somebody's existence. That's about it. I want to be like him. Just, you know, the way that he's lost weight. Otherwise, his life is crap. So I woke up this morning determined to turn a new leaf. So I went outside near a tree and I turned a leaf over. It was old and brown, but I turned it over and I said, okay, that's it. But no, that's not it. So I woke up this morning, I went into the kitchen, I was hungry, I needed something to eat. I get up like at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, well before you even realize you're still alive. And I went into my closet and I took out a can of Quaker oats. Not the ready-made package stuff with the processed chemicals in it, but the actual oats themselves in a big canister. And I prepared for myself, which only took like 3 minutes, I prepared a cup of oatmeal. I put no honey in it, no sugar, nothing like that, just the raw freaking oatmeal. And I ate it. And at first, it tasted like cardboard. But then after a while, I realized some cardboard can be quite tasty. I got used to the taste, and I ate the thing. And I actually felt full. Well, That's incredible because usually, see, motivation, I have motivation, then I hit a wall, and on the other side of the wall is actually doing what I'm motivated to do. I can't get past that wall. I think Donald Trump built it. I can't get past that wall. But today, I took a couple of bricks out of it. I had my oatmeal, and I'm not hungry anymore. And then I did something that I haven't done in a long time. I sat on my exercise bike, my stationary bike. The bike don't go nowhere. I can pedal all day, and I'll still be in the same room. Maybe I moved a couple of inches from the vibration, but other than that, this bike ain't going nowhere. I sat on that bike for 10 minutes. Proud of me? Well, I didn't pedal, I just sat on it. And when it felt like the bicycle seat was about to ride up my ass, I got off the bike. Now, granted, I got no exercise, but I became familiar with my bicycle. And that's important. After this show today, I'm going to go back on that bicycle and sit there a little bit longer until I actually start pedaling. Then who knows? Now, can I keep this up for 3 weeks, like the person that I know of whose existence I'm aware? No, I can't keep it up for 3 weeks. But can I do some small portion of it? Is that better than nothing? You bet it is. It's a good introduction for me into the world of health. Will I feel better? Why am I asking myself questions like this? It's because I'm sitting here alone. That's why. Did you ever meet somebody like that? They have a conversation with you. They ask themselves questions. They do. Hi, Ron. How are you? Yeah, it's a beautiful day outside. How beautiful is it? Well, it's about the nicest day I've had in a long time. How long has it been since you had a nice day? I'd say about 5 days. And I didn't say a word. This guy's asking himself his own question. He's having his own interview. It's interesting. Do you know people like that? Yeah, me too. And then the same people, they do another very annoying habit. When you ask them a question, they say, well, how long have you lived here? Oh, I want to say 6 years. Go on, say it. It's okay. 6 years. Go on. Yeah, you don't have to say you want to say it. You don't need my permission. Are you a male or a female? I want to say I'm a male. Oh, stop with the I want to say thing. I want to say. What's holding you back? What, are you arguing with yourself? What's the matter with you? What's wrong with you? All right, this show is starting off really weird, but I'm telling you, it gets a lot weirder than this. I guarantee you. Ladies and gentlemen, let's start the program, because if I don't, it'll never end.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Here we go. Here we go.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Okay. Things can get a bit weird.
Okay.
If you like that sort of thing.
Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't.
Whatever.
Good morning. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much, Julie. Last night on 60 Minutes, Stormy Daniels was interviewed. And we don't know if she's lying or not, but it's not the point. It kind of doesn't make a difference. The point is that Trump's attorney, Michael, I call him Michael, Trump's attorney paid off Stormy Daniels $130,000 just days before the election to keep her quiet so she wouldn't screw things up. $130,000. That's a fact. Whether Stormy's lying or not, as far as her story's concerned, that has nothing to do with it. She was paid off $130,000 to shut up. Where did this money come from? Well, Trump's attorney, Michael, says it was his own money. He just loves Trump. He said he loves Trump so much, he didn't expect to have it paid back. And Trump didn't even know about it. He just loves Trump so much. That's the part that's not believable. The money was paid. Did Trump ever pay it back? We don't know. A contract was made up for the hush money. There was hush money paid. Michael Cohen, who is the attorney, he's in trouble no matter what, because he was Trump's attorney, and that would be a campaign contribution, technically, that this guy didn't report. Did Trump know about it? Well, if he's that close to Trump, I can't imagine that no phone call, no communication whatsoever went from Trump's attorney to Trump himself saying this woman wants to sue you. Is the story true? Of course, Trump would say no. Whether the story was true or not, I cannot believe that there is no line of communication between Trump's attorney and Trump on a situation like this when the guy's paying out $130,000. Trump didn't sign the hush agreement. Although it is true that it was admitted by attorney Michael Cohen that Dennison was the alias that Trump made up, he still never signed it. One way or the other, someone's in a lot of trouble. Not only can Trump not keep his mouth shut and keeps getting himself in trouble, but even his attorney does this. So that was the big story yesterday. And that prompts me to take a look at what's going on in the White House. Look at that. Look at them. Look at them running around. Hey, who's next to leave the cabinet, huh? I don't know. Spin the wheel, Don. Watch out for that banana peel. That's the legal team. Look at the legal team running around with the seltzer bottles. It's so funny. Adorable. Oh, man. All right. One of Trump's attorneys is Ty Cobb. Apparently, he's a very high-profile attorney. Excuse me, but isn't Ty Cobb a baseball player? And this is another Ty Cobb? What are the chances of two Ty Cobbs in one generation? They're nil. He's got to be the same guy. Doesn't he look like Stephen Stills from... not Stephen Stills. The other guy, Crosby. He looks like Crosby from Crosby, Stills, and Nash. And Young. What happened to Young? Young got out of there, didn't he? Sounds like a bad legal team. Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young. Young goes off on his own. Crosby becomes Ty Cobb. It's very interesting. The whole thing's very interesting. It's confusing, and it's very interesting. Oh, what a freaking liar, Lion Don. I call him Lion Don. He likes to make up names for people to put them down like a schoolyard bully, so that must mean that everybody should do it. So I call him Lion Don. Let's see if that catches on, because it should, because that's what he does. Even people that support him knows he lies. And if they don't, then they're lying that they know he's lying, because he's lying all the time. And then he puts it off on something else to make it look like they're lying. And if they're lying, then he couldn't be lying. So confusing. It's just so, this whole thing is so convoluted. I've got my fingers crossed, my toes crossed, my boobs crossed. I've got everything crossed that we can just get through 4 years of this crap or less. That's all I'm hoping, man. Keep us safe. Keep us, keep the planet safe. Don't screw things up too much. China now is placing tariffs on goods to the United States, just like United States has placed tariffs on goods coming from China to the United States, because we placed tariffs the other way around. So China said, you want a trade war? Bring it on, Don. That was China's response. So now the cost of goods is going to go up for many, many products here that we enjoy in the United States. And who do we have to thank for that? Bozo the Clown, indeed. Of course, something had to be done about it, but doing it this way, yeah, right. I see what Don's doing. See, Don's trying to do the business thing, and here's what's going to happen. We place tariffs on goods coming in from China. China places tariffs on goods coming in from the United States to them. Then eventually, apparently, Lion Don makes a phone call to China and says, look, this trade war, it's getting out of hand. We're good friends. We enjoy each other's cuisine. So let's just, we'll drop the tariffs. You drop the tariffs. No tariffs. What do you say, China? That's his game plan. It's not a bad one. It's not a bad one. Just make sure that you can play it really well, because if it doesn't work out where China says, screw you, we're keeping the tariffs because we don't trust you, then Trump has fucked up big time and caused a tremendous problem. And more tremendous problems to come. I understand him. I know what he's doing. I get it. It's just the method in which he does it is so, so mistrusting and conniving that it's obvious. And I'm no rocket scientist, although I must say I've built a few rockets. A couple of them have landed on Mars. To my knowledge, that's fake news. On today's program, later on in the show, this show could go on for quite some time. Later on in the show, we're going to talk about do-it-yourself and how that has just embroiled our country. Do it yourself. Used to be a time in our country where if you needed something done, you would look in the phone book. Kids, you don't know what a phone book is. These were books that were actually put out every year, and every resident who had a telephone got a phone book. It was free, kids. It was free. Can you believe there's a free book? And in it listed all the telephone numbers of the people that lived in a particular town. And it also, I know it's a lot to take in, kids. And it also listed all the businesses. So if you needed something, you go to the yellow pages, because they were yellow in color, duh. And you would look up plumber or something like that, or gardener or whatever the case may be. And then they'd had the phone numbers of the people listed alphabetically, and you would call them. That's why every company back then, it was like a plumbing service. AAA electric service. You had to have, if your name of your company began with an A, you were at the top of the listings, you see. Or you could take out an ad, whatever the case was. It was called a phone book. It was very, very cool. It was very cool. Kids, it was the days when you would pick up something and look it up and use your brain to find something. Yeah, it was different. It was a different time. So you go in the phone book and you would hire somebody, and they would come out and they would do the job for you professionally and properly. And most people did this. And it was very, very cool because people had jobs accordingly. There were handymen. That was a whole profession. Then somewhere in the 90s, things got screwed up. They introduced the do-it-yourself concept. When you went to a restaurant, and they don't do it as much anymore, but when you went to a restaurant, they had a thing called a salad bar. I thought a salad bar was when you had some salad and you drank alcohol. But no, a salad bar was just salad with all different kinds of fixins on it. And you would go to a restaurant, you'd sit down at the table, the server would come over and say, can I help you? And you would say, yes, I'd like a salad. And they say, all right, get up and get it yourself. Their plate's over there is a fork. And just shut up and do it yourself. Excuse me, is this a restaurant or what? Yeah, we're providing the food. You get your own salad. I don't know how you want your salad. What do you want? What do you want from me? I don't know what dressing you want. I don't know if you want tomatoes on it, cucumbers, carrots. I have no idea what you want. Little pieces of corn, cauliflower. I know what the hell you want. Get it yourself. But you don't have a salad. Go in the kitchen. Go in the kitchen and make it yourself. God damn it. Stop bothering me. And then do-it-yourself took off. There were television shows about doing everything yourself. It was crazy. You want a shed built in the back of your... Or do it yourself. Do it yourself. Just do it yourself. I want to. Let's go to the store and buy a couch. Buy a couch. Make it yourself. Get some wood. Get some upholstery. Do it yourself. So this do-it-yourself movement came on. And today, later in the show, we're going to talk to two do-it-yourself people. Now, they're not being as brash as saying, well, do it yourself, you lazy son of a bitch. We're going to talk about, because it's springtime, did you know that? I'm sorry, I have to tell you, because it's not obvious. It's springtime, and this is a time where you go out in your backyard, if you have a backyard, and you do it yourself. I mean, you do it yourself. First, try to do it yourself before you call someone. Don't call hiring somebody so that they can feed their family. Do it yourself. So that's what it's about. So later on, we'll talk to two different do-it-yourself people who claim you can do it yourself. Yard work, all this kind of crap. Do it yourself. Just do it yourself. Don't hire somebody. Do it yourself, lazy. Lazy son of a bitch. Get out and do it yourself. You can probably tell by my laughter that I do nothing myself. Nothing at all. I don't, you know, every time I try to do something myself, I screw it up and I end up calling somebody anyway. And then they charge me more to correct the screw up that I did. You can tell when I've done it myself, everything looks horrible. Nothing fits. I can't even assemble toys. I can't assemble things. I only buy things that say no assembly required. Otherwise, I can't assemble crap. I can't. I always have 17 pieces left over from the box. Ron, what are all these parts left over? I see you assembled the chair, but what are all these parts? I don't know. I guess you can make another chair if you want to. I really don't know. Don't bother me. Do it yourself. Just do it yourself. Do it yourself. Oh, what's the big deal? Do it yourself. Women have been doing it themselves forever. They have babies. They do it themselves. Well, that's not true. They go to the hospital and you have to stand there with them and you have to breathe with them. You know, the man has a very easy job here. It's stressful, but it's very easy. You impregnate the woman, which also derives pleasure to the man. So, I mean, like, where's the effort there? And then when the woman has the baby, she's trying to, you know, get the sucker out of her body through a very, very small opening. And all the guy has to do is just stand there with a mask on his face, standing next to his wife, and he does this. Come on, breathe with me. All right, push, push, push. That's it. That's it. That's the whole deal. Guys get off really easy. So how do they punish them? How do they punish the guys for doing these horrible things to the woman and lending very little support? How do they punish the man? Well, first of all, the male is the subservient race. If a man doesn't admit that, if a man thinks that men are the dominant sex, then you don't get it, man. You're not you have fallen to the psychological prey of the woman. The women rule the world. And if you don't understand that, you're really missing the boat big time. The boat has sailed without you forever. Women rule. Let's face it. Stop it. So how do they punish the men? The men have to do the yard work. Now, there are a lot of women who do it themselves, but not a lot. Not a lot. I'm not being sexist. It's just not a lot. It's the guys that really are supposed to, quote unquote, wear the pants in the family and do all the stuff. And it's only fair. It's not even close to fair yet. I got to tell you something. If men gave birth to babies, we would have no population in the United States whatsoever. We wouldn't. Men would say, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. I can't even pee when my penis burns, much less deliver a child, have something grow inside me, and then have to have a connection to this child for the rest. No, I'm sorry. I can't do it. I'm sorry. There'd be no children left. There wouldn't be any children left. There'd be no millennials. In China, apparently, from what I understand from looking in the phone book, China actually has the power to limit the amount of children that you can have in China. That could never happen in this country, although I think it's an excellent idea. Obviously, that's not democracy, so that never flies. But it's not a bad concept. Because I know a lot of people, and they shouldn't have more than one child, for sure. And I also know a lot of other people that shouldn't have never had a child at all. So, anyway, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, there's going to be more program. And I'm not saying that as a threat. It's just a fact.
Listening to The Ron Van Dam Show is like realizing that you put your underwear on backwards this morning. It's wrong, but it doesn't feel bad. And it's not like anyone's ever going to find out. So just go with it. This is The Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Do this every single weekday. Oh, God. Seriously? This is my do-it-yourself. I'd love to have somebody come in and do it for me, but it doesn't work like that. We can be heard on the Podbean Network. They house over 1,000 of our episodes. They're pretty cool, the Podbean Network. And then also, we are found on websites all over the place there, NewEnglandBroadcasting.com, NewEnglandTalkRadio.com, all that kind of stuff. We're on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, the Alexa app, all kinds of crap there. We're just all over the place. So, SoundCloud, whatever. I don't even know what half these things are. So, thanks for listening, though. I really appreciate it. Did you get my gift in the mail yet? No? Oh, too bad. It's coming. It could take years, but it's coming. I had a cold like a couple of months ago. I remember those things. I don't remember much of anything, but I remember that. And I remember falling in love with a nasal inhaler. Do you understand what these things are? Sometimes they're not sold in stores because they, I think, are evil. They look like chapstick. It looks like a chapstick container. And you take the lid off and you shove it in your nose and it has like this menthol in it or something. And you inhale it, and it clears up your nostril, like, immediately, to the point where it feels like it could blow up. It is such a rush of clearness. It's amazing. And then you place it in the other nostril. Don't forget to take it out eventually, otherwise you look really stupid. You place it in the other nostril, you inhale in, just one big inhale through the nostril, and that clear, it's like, it opens the passageways. It's like an explosion in your nose. And you put the cap back on, and you're good for a long time. Some people actually get carried away with it because it makes you feel so clear. And I think it's nothing more than menthol. I really don't know what it is. I'm not sure about the secret ingredient in there or something. could be dynamite. I'm not sure what it is, but it clears the nasal passages like those cartoons in the commercials where they do little cartoon depictions of your nose clearing up. That's what I view. That's what I view. That's what I see happening in my mind. I believe for a while they were taken off the shelves because people were abusing them. And I don't know how you abuse them and why it's so horrible. Maybe it destroys your nasal membrane. I really don't know. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. I have no idea. All I know is it's just a fantastic product. There are not many fantastic products on the market where everybody just agrees, that's incredible. How does that work like that? The other thing in my facial area are Q-tips. I feel so nasty and so bad about myself when I use a Q-tip because I don't know what Q-tips are for. I think you're supposed to put Vaseline at the end of it and spread it on your skin somewhere. I believe I've seen people do that. I've never done it. I use the Q-tip for why you use a Q-tip. I shove it in my ear canal. And there are warnings, do not shove the Q-tip in your ear canal. And yet, we all do it. Nobody rings the doorbell at my house arresting me for misappropriating the product. But I do. And the yellow wax that comes out of my ear on the tip of that Q-tip is substantial. I don't know of any other way to remove it. There are some inventions that do so, but they're nowhere near the satisfaction of pulling out that Q-tip and looking at it and seeing all that orangey-yellow guck, that buildup coming right out of your ear. That is satisfaction like nothing else. I remember growing up, vaguely. Whenever you buy a pillow, there's a tag on the pillow. I don't know if it's still there. I know when I was growing up, there was a tag, and it said, do not remove by penalty of law. A tag on a pillow. And to this day, I don't understand why you can't remove that tag. Under penalty of law, what is it, like a 3-year conviction? I'm doing hard time because I removed a tag on a pillow. Hey, pick up that soap for me. I understand you removed a tag from a pillow. You're my bitch now. That's the last tag you're going to be removing, baby. Give me your food. I want to eat your food. Ooh. I was never in prison. I imagine that's what happens. I don't know. I imagine that's what happens. You meet a guy named Bubba. It's always Bubba. Always making incredible, horrible demands on you. And you find Jesus. These are all the things that happen in prison, to my understanding. Anyway, I don't have the balls to remove the tag. I feel like I should cut it off and just see what happens. Just shear off that tag off the pillow and just sit there quietly on the bed to see if something happens. I don't do it because I fear something might. Or come the day you pass away and leave this great earth, if there is a heaven and there is an escalator that's working to get to it, when you get to the pearly gates, I assume they'll ask you, have you been a good person? Yes, I have, Santa. Did you ever remove a tag from a pillow? Yes. Well, you can't stay here. You have to go to hell because that, they put it on the tag. They told you not to do it. You did it anyway. You're not going to heaven. I'm sorry. Can't you read the instructions, Van Damme? What the hell is wrong with you? You don't belong here. You belong in hell. Horrible, horrible hell. All right, we're going to hear from Bob the Handyman, and then when we come back, we're going to hear from two actual people who were telling you the yard work, work in the backyard, do it yourself. But first this.
Hi, this is Bob Robinson from Bob's Handy Around the House. I'm a local handyman. I've been in business for the last 50 years on my own, doing light repair work in our area. Whatever you need done, carpentry, painting, floors, tiling, yard work, I can do it all for you. I'll come to your home and do the work for a very reasonable fee. Naked. I should probably mention that I will be naked while I do this work. Buck naked, not a stitch on me, waving in the wind, in my birthday suit, showing what God gave me, naked as a jaybird. I'll be naked the whole time. I show up naked, I do the work naked, you pay me while I'm naked. Bob's Handy Around the House, Bob Robinson. You can look me up on Facebook, where I am naked.
Matt Blasio joins us. He's a licensed contractor, and he knows everything you want to know about being a versatile handyman, because that's what he does. And he's connected with HGTV and the DIY Network, Do-It-Yourself Network. And we're talking about, well, the season's coming up across the nation for taking care of stuff. And that's where you come in, because, you know, I usually don't know whether I should do it myself and screw it up, or whether I should hire a contractor, have it done right, but spend more money to do it. I'm always in a bind with that.
Yeah. Well, you got to know when to, you know when to do it yourself and know when to call it out.
Oh, that's a, that's a Kenny Rogers song, I think.
Yeah. I should probably write that myself, right? You know your skill level. Mm-hmm. You know your skill level. Wow. According to the CoinStar survey, mm-hmm. The most reasons that people actually take on DIY projects, 65% of them say to save money, yeah, and to increase the value of their home. And you know, you could take it on yourself. I think there's a pride that goes in.
Yeah.
But you know, I wouldn't quite go from doing maybe little small carpenter projects over to tile,
yeah.
Just kind of do it a little baby steps at a time, because if you take on too big of a project that's too complicated for you, you're never going to finish. You're going to get upset, and it's just all going to lead downhill.
Yeah. I mean, I always say, if you have to refer to an instruction manual, then you may not want to test that out on your own house.
No. And especially that is like some of the most stress that you find, yeah, in a house. You'll people, between husband and wife, and stuff don't get it done. On these shows, I go into people's yards or kitchens, and I see that the husband started something, and didn't quite finish it, and just, yeah, becomes this like vision every day of what did not happen. So I say do small little things here and there, and then you get that positivity and just go to the next project.
So like what makes the difference between a person like you and a person like me? You probably make more money, but I mean, in the sense that you know how to do this stuff. I don't. And like, how did you pick this up? How did you become who you are?
I'm the son of an engineer. I started using tools, and I'm attention deficit. I'm not medicated for it,
uh-huh,
so I need to be doing stuff, uh-huh, all the time.
Okay.
And, for me, power tools, saws, everything, it just really, really captured my attention. Hmm. I started doing it at my mom's house, but, I got to be honest with you, mm-hmm, I learned from messing up. I learned, yeah, from trying to make progress by making mistakes. So I say, yeah, don't be afraid to make some mistakes. Mm-hmm. You're going to learn, and you're going to be able to get that arsenal to complete those projects eventually.
So is what you're saying that would be the rule there? If you make some mistakes and it's not that consequential, go for it. If it's consequential and you could make things horribly go wrong without any type of remedy, then maybe you should consult.
So yeah, so the two, I say this, the two trades, yeah, not to attempt, if you don't know what you're doing, mm-hmm, probably electrical and plumbing, because those are some irreversible things that could happen, okay, right? Water damage,
yeah,
electricity, fire, you know, those are things that you could probably want to leave to the pros. But, you know, carpentry, I taught my friend the other day how to tile. This guy has no idea about home improvement. He has tiled almost every room in his house now because he absolutely loves it. He was scared to death before. So, I mean, that makes me feel good.
Okay, right. So now it's tile throughout the house. I guess you can overdo some things too.
He's on a roll.
I know. Now, in the Northeast, we have a lot of damage from the winter, and I don't know what part of the country you're in, but there's a lot of cleanup to be done. Is that something? Is that a do-it-yourself kind of thing with tree limbs and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, tree limbs, and I mean, unless it's getting to a you know, a spot that's high up, you know, the trees, you know, why they fall is because you get, you know, they're frozen.
Right.
A lot of those branches just may be on, you know, the brink of collapsing. If you feel, you know, I always say kind of use your spidey senses, look up, and you know, if this is going to be something that you can't reach with maybe one of those poles, and you know. If you have to climb, leave the climbing up to the experts.
Okay.
But, you know, there's a lot of stuff that you can do. This is the time to get all those gutters clean. You know, that's definitely something that you can do. You know, just clean up little bit by bit. I live in Southern California. You know, we don't, you know, we don't have the snow. And, but boy, I've traveled around this country and I've seen what happens. But, yeah, we have mudslides and, you know, some earthquakes from time to time.
Yeah, there you go.
Fires,
you know? What the hell? there's no place to go. There's no place where you can go where you don't have anything going on, no flooding, nothing. There isn't. That doesn't exist.
Right.
All right.
That's the exciting part of life, you know?
It is. It is. It makes it unpredictable. So what you're saying is, so what are you telling the public? Go out and be brave, be educated, know what you're doing, but go out and get that satisfaction.
Yeah, and you know what? I mean, the budget is one of the most important things. I mean, you got to stick to a budget.
Yeah.
And you got to create a budget before you start your project. Mm-hmm. Know how much you're going to spend. You don't want to be among the 30% of people who left projects incomplete because they just ran out of money.
Yeah.
And most people, they're going to spend, you know, about $500 on DIY home improvement projects this year, and they say they're going to use some cash on hand.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why this is one of my favorite projects to do, is to have a coin jar right on top of my dresser. And it is hidden project money right there.
You can go down to a
CoinStar kiosk. You can get cash. Even better, you can get a no-fee e-gift card at places like Home Depot, Lowe's, Amazon. And the average pour is about $76 for an e-gift card. So that is just supplemental money. That's got to make you happy.
Yeah. Well, God bless CoinStar, because banks won't take my change anymore. So thank you, CoinStar. And that stuff can amount up to a lot of money. I think everybody who goes to CoinStar is surprised, like, whoa, that's pretty cool. It's like found money.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
It's I get excited. I do this three times a year.
Yeah.
I have a red glass mason jar.
Mm-hmm.
And every day I just put and I wait for it to get to the top. And I want to guess. It's almost like counting the jelly beans.
Yes.
Like, how much is it going to be this time?
Yeah.
And, you know, every time I get to like $180.
Yeah.
And now when you have these e-gift cards, you're not paying, you're not paying the fee. It goes... All of that goes right into your project. It's fantastic.
Not bad stuff. Matt, how do we get more information?
You can go to coinstar.com to find that kiosk in your neighborhood. So grab that coin jar, get on down, and start that project.
Cool. Hey, thanks for the motivation and the information, and have yourself a great time. We'll talk to you again soon.
I can't wait. Talk to you soon.
Take care. Bye-bye. George Oliphant joins us now. He's an award-winning and Emmy award-winning host of George to the Rescue and Home Improvement Expert. And we're talking about spring, oddly enough. When is that going to happen? We're talking about doing the home improvement projects as the springtime starts to arrive. What about fuel? We're talking about refueling a lawn. What happens there?
Really, I mean, spring. Yeah, you were saying, Rob, when is spring going to come? When is spring going to come? I don't know what that Punxsutawney Phil, if you saw a shadow, didn't
crazy.
See a shadow.
It's crazy.
Well, what's going on? But once the snow is gone, we're going to have a lot of things to deal with. Broken branches, bushes that have been smushed. Our yards are going to be a mess. So before you, in order to make them beautiful for the summer, the first thing we want to do is get in there and clean them up. You want to seed in the spring. You want to seed in the cooler weather because you don't want to seed once it gets really hot. You want your grass to have a chance to kind of root and grow. And also you want to have the right tools for the job. I'm always a fan of having, you know, a full quiver of different tools. And I like to mix power tools with hand tools. They complement each other very nicely. And using battery powered tools, they just come so far. They make everything so much, they're just so much more user friendly. Literally flip of a switch, they're on, they go, rechargeable. You can have more than one battery, so when one dies, you can put in a new one, but they last a long time. And you're not dealing with gas and oil and mixing gas and oil and pull cords that just like never seem to catch.
Yep.
And, all those things that, you know, all homeowners deal with when they're dealing with their power tools. When they're gas powered, plus the gas powered tools emit all sorts of emissions into the air. They're not good for the environment, and the noise pollution. I mean, how many times you wake up on a weekend morning and it's just the buzzes and cranking and all the noises that are being emitted the power tools.
I got to tell you something. When they called me about this interview. They told me about their Greenworks and I said, you know, I want to do this interview because I have three, Greenworks pieces of equipment, all purchased within the past 2 years. And I love them. I can't wait to use them. Isn't that odd that I can't wait to work with these things? They're fun and they're easy. And, I'm sorry, you're not paying me to do a commercial, but, I love these things. I don't know why they weren't around years ago.
I agree. We're kindred spirits. When I first got into the battery powered tool, I was a little nervous myself. But I have a Greenworks blower as well,
yep.
And I love it. And my wife loves it, which is great because she's down for getting in there. My kids are down for helping me do projects. But my wife was intimidated by the gas powered tools. She was like, you know, I don't mm-hmm. like pulling on the pull cord.
Exactly.
It never seems to work.
Exactly.
I think things are going to take off on me. I don't like the smell of mm-hmm. gas and all this stuff all over me. With battery powered tools, with the Greenworks tools, with the Cobalt tools,
they're very cool.
They turn on. They do what they're supposed to do. They're quieter and they don't emit all those disgusting emissions.
Yeah, they're fun. When I got my leaf blower thing, I was just leaf blowing everything. I was walking down the street blowing people off the sidewalk. I didn't care. I just loved.
Right. So you can attest they have a lot of power.
They
you
do.
Know,
they really
you don't, you
do.
You don't have to have one of those gas powered backpack ones. You can use the battery powered. You're going to get the same thing. Rake up your leaves, but then save your back instead of having to rake all those piles. Once you get everything loose, bring in the blower, blow everything into a pile, and away you go. And even with the very light snows, not with the heavy snow we got, but with those light dustings, it works there too. I was like, oh my gosh, you know what? I'm just going to blow my walk off, and it was great.
I have the little portable snow blower thing. And it actually, you know, I have the big one too, but I have the one that you lift just like a little shovel. And I plug it in because I do my deck in the back of the house, and I plug it in, and it's amazing what it does. It's like, whoa, this is very cool. It's very powerful. I love it. Anyway, there are a lot of things to be done, especially in the Northeast, where we're also cleaning up after many, many storms all over the Northeast and even into the South. So tools do become necessary. You can't go calling everybody every time you got a little branch down.
No, it gets expensive. It's good to have. I mean, yes, there's some tools. Maybe you want to, depending on space and storage, mm-hmm. you know. But yeah, you want to have good hand tools. A good chainsaw is not something to be scared of. You know, you should have one in your house. If you have trees and bushes, it's going to make your life a lot easier. Trying to get out there with a handsaw and just and cut it. I mean, it might build the biceps, but it's going to take forever.
Yeah, it does. Okay, so a lot of work to be done. Now, how can we get some more information about this?
Well, to find out more information about the tools, about battery power tools, you can go to greenworkstools.com or lowes.com. And, yeah, that's the best place to find out about battery power tools. And then, you know, just get out there, get in, start toiling in the soil. Have fun once the spring comes. Get your yard cleaned up, prepped. And then you're going to be able to enjoy it all summer. It's all about having a good foundation.
You know, it's funny, George, is that I don't do a lot of exercise. I don't belong to a gym. Well, I do, but I never go.
you and me both.
Yeah. But doing a little bit of yard work or doing some mulching or weeding is actually like it's exercise that actually has an end result to it. You have something completed when you're finished with it as opposed to walking off of a treadmill and all you've done is kind of run your shoes down.
I couldn't agree more. Yeah, it's very cathartic. And you accomplish something. It's one of those, like, you check many boxes. You get your yard done, your house looks good, you feel good. And, yeah, you're out there, you're burning calories. You're getting those steps in. Everyone's always worried about, oh, how many steps have I gotten? Mm-hmm. I always tell people, because I do, obviously, construction, I'm like, yeah, I this is my gym, you know, getting out here, doing this stuff. It's how you get that full-body workout.
It's very, very cool. Well, okay, so where we go for more information?
Check out greenworkstools.com and lowes.com.
There you have it. Hey, good talking to you, George.
Good talking to you, Ron. Have fun with your Greenworks tools this summer.
I shall, my friend. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You've been wonderful. You've just been an angel today. I really appreciate it. I'll be back again tomorrow with another show. Until then, I wish you peace. Thanks for coming. Thanks for coming. Bye-bye. Thanks for coming.